What's up, everybody? Are you tuning in to the Challenge USA on CBS? Well, tune in to me, Tyson Apostle, as I break down each and every episode with my co-host, Amelia Wedemeyer. I'm also a contestant on the show, which gives you all the insider scoop. Amelia, how stoked are you to do this?
Tyson, I'm freaking excited. I cannot wait to sit my butt down every single week to watch the show, then come here and recap it with you on the Ringer Reality TV podcast.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time and the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Welcome to another pop culture history lesson. My name is Amelia Wedemeyer, and today I am joined by Zach Peter of the hashtag No Filter with Zach Peter podcast. And we are going to be talking about a little show that I think we both loved called Rock of Love, which recently celebrated 15 years, which just makes me feel so old. So old. Zach, how are you?
Oh, we're going to talk about Rock of Love. Don't threaten me with a good time. Okay. Touch my perfect backstage pass, ride my limousine, be my rock of love. Don't threaten me with a good time. Okay.
I'm ready. Don't threaten me with a good time. Oh my God. Such a poignant moment actually in culture, because Taylor Swift later stole that line and used it for one of her songs. So I'm just saying it was Tiffany before Taylor, but.
Tiffany before Taylor. That should be the hashtag. We're going to start a movement. It was Tiffany before Taylor.
Exactly. Thank
you. Justice for Tiffany, by the way. Can we talk about how like she was just like totally erased from like the Rock of Love history and all the future spinoffs? Like we just completely, like we need hashtag justice for Tiffany, because we need to put some more respect on her name.
She was fun. The first couple episodes that she was there, she was like you said, don't threaten her with good time. She was just drunk the entire time. Just happy to be there. Happy to be there. And that's what we love to see, you know? So, okay. Yes. So we're going to talk a little bit about a little VH1 show called Rock of Love. Okay, so just a little background. I know that you have done some interviews, which I've watched and loved. I loved your interviews. I watched actually Lacey just the other day, and I really liked it. I was just like, oh my God, Lacey is so, she's so sweet. She's totally different from how she was portrayed on the show and everything. But can you tell me a little bit about the interviews that you did? And like what kind of spurred you on to do the, just like out of like all the shows you could have done, why Rock of Love?
Well, I was raised on reality TV. Flavor of Love was my dad, and Kris Jenner was my mom. So, you know, and Brett Michaels was my naughty uncle that, you know, you kind of awkwardly laughed at. And so it was in 2020. I had the podcast already going on, and I was just starting to do, everyone was Zooming. So I was like, well, you know, Lacey had just launched her podcast with Heather, and it was called Talk of Love. Right. And so her and I connected via Instagram, and I was like, why don't you come on the podcast? And it took us a while to actually schedule it. But once I got one of them, I was like, oh, why don't I reach out to a few of them? So I reached out to some of the Flavor of Love girls. I reached out to some of the I Love New York guys and the Rock of Love ladies. And it was a blast. We did a whole throwback month where I went and interviewed Lacey. I interviewed Megan, 12 Pack, Safari, Hoops, Heat, New York. So, you know, I wanted to take us back to that golden era of reality television, which I love, because now here they are all these years later, and they spilled all the tea on all the shows, which was amazing for me.
Yes. And you guys listening will have to go over to Zach's YouTube page or his podcast and listen, because they are very good. They're really fun. And, you know, it's just like you said, it's nostalgic. It's just, I'm just like, oh my God, my childhood. I love it. So, and also we recently did, well, I guess recently, as in like a couple months ago, we did a podcast celebrating Flavor of Love. So shout out to my colleagues, Waz and Charles, for that episode. Really fun episode. And they also talked about Flavor of Love, how it was like, you know, this mid-2000s reality show. They did a lot of talking about Flav himself, and just how there was like a paradigm shift from music. Because VH1 really was like, I don't know if you watched VH1 before all the Rock of Love series, but it really was, I remember, it being a lot of music videos. And then there was this huge shift to reality shows after all these shows became so popular. Did you like watch, like what, how did you find VH1, I guess?
I mean, I always loved anything pop culture, reality TV. And yeah. I also really just love trash TV, like Jerry Springer. You know, if I could sneak that in, I was like, let me grow up on that. Give me all the Maury. Chaos.
Yeah, that was
Maury,
me.
Oh my God.
I used to sneak Maury.
You are not the father.
Yes.
What?
I love that.
No. Flake is definitely the father. I would, you know, blend them all together.
Right.
I do remember when they were just music video channels, MTV right. and VH1, and it was just music videos that would kind of play. And so I'd be getting ready and, you know, for school in the morning, blow drying my hair like I'm actually, you know, somebody, and people cared what my hair looks like. But, you know, I would have the music videos playing in the background.
Right.
And it's funny how it shifted from being music to
totally.
Then being music figures that were, yeah, you know, kind of
point.
Just, yeah, they kept it in the family. So many people are like, well, they abandoned music,
yeah.
VH1 and MTV. But I'm like, well, not really. They just ended up taking these figures in music and centering them on these reality shows.
Totally. That, and it's so interesting how, you know, we had, I thought The Surreal Life was brilliant too. I loved that show as well, which, and like you said, they take like the old stars or people, kind of, well, if we're being honest, has
been. That's generous.
That's
has been, yeah.
Exactly.
That was a generous term.
Exactly. And all these has-beens where you're like, oh my God, I haven't seen them before in a long time, where it's like, because there was no social media, so we didn't have any really way of kind of keeping up with them. And now, you know, that was kind of a way to keep up with them, where you're like, oh my God, so that's what happened to that one Baywatch woman, or that's what happened to Vanilla Ice. And obviously, Flava Flav goes on that show. He hits it off with Brigitte Nielsen. They have a whole torrid love affair. They have their own series, Strange Love, which I don't know if you watched, but was definitely strange. It was fun. And then he had his whole Flavor of Love, which was modeled after the Bachelor. And I think for a while, the producers of the show wanted to call it The Black Bachelor. Before, you know, The Bachelor became diversified. And so they continued that with Rock of Love, which I think, again, was kind of modeled after, like, it was like a version of The Bachelor, a version of Flavor of Love. And it was kind of for more like white audiences almost. And obviously it was a popular show. Bret Michaels said it was the most popular show on VH1. I remember him saying that. We had them. Oh,
which
yeah.
was not true, by the way, right? Because didn't Flavor of Love.
I
like
think
when
so.
I heard, I was watching an interview that he did a couple years ago, and he's like, yeah, it was the highest rated show. I'm like, this is like some, this is some very Trumpian delusions of grandeur that we
this
have
is revisionist
here,
history.
You were not. I mean, they did great. It was a great,
sure.
iconic show.
Yeah.
But Flavor of Love far surpassed them in the ratings. I think Flavor of Love's highest was like in the 5 millions, and Rock of
yes.
Love, like their highest was in like the 3 millions.
Exactly. Yes. I know. I was like, Brett, what are we doing? Okay. Interesting. And I remember him even saying it on one of the seasons. I think it was the third season, Rock of Love bus, for any of you who remember, where they go on a bus and tour around the country, which I thought was kind of
how
fun.
How could we forget?
How could, but that was the best season, in my opinion. I don't know. Well, what was your favorite season of the Of Love franchises?
Not the bus, I'll tell you
really?
That.
Okay.
I feel like the bus is when we took a nosedive. I mean, season one was great with Lacey, but I think season two was probably my favorite.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I know people don't like her, but I like Daisy. I think she's cute. And I thought, I love Daisy of Love. I'm not going to lie. I will literally watch any of these shows and enjoy them. So.
I mean, sure. But of all of the ones we could have given a spinoff to from Rock of Love, I don't know if Daisy was at the top of my list.
You're right. I don't think so.
Put some respect on Megan's check. She earned that with Charm School and I Love Money.
Yes.
But if anyone was going to get a spinoff, it should have been like Lacey or Heather. Heather would have been wild. The I Heart Heather spinoff, I think would have been insane.
I know. When they were talking about how she was going to get I Heart Heather and Lacey was going to get I Love Lacey, I was like, why didn't we get those shows? A little disappointed with that. So anyway, Rock of Love was parodied on SNL, which I think it's like if you know it's a cultural touchstone when you've been parodied on SNL. You know, I mean, that's kind of huge. And like you were saying, the third season finale of Rock of Love hit 3.2 million, which was, I guess, a series high for VH1, according to them. But like you said, I'm pretty sure that Flavor of Love did hit in the 5 millions.
Well, a series high for Rock of Love. That specific series.
That's true.
Which I think is where Brett kind of got a little confused. I think it's the extensions were just, you know, not really.
They were a little too tight. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So what appealed to you about Rock of Love, I guess, out of, you know, if you're sitting down on a, I don't know which day it came out, but, and you were like, I'm going to choose that over, I don't know, like The Bachelor or Survivor or any other kind of reality show.
I mean, obviously the chaos, like
totally.
The women were so wild and Brett was just like such a character. And listen, when you're on cable, like it's a lot looser, whereas you're going to have a Survivor or a Bachelor that's going to be a little more scripted. We kind of have to, you know, make sure we're pleasing the advertisers a little more, where if you're going to be advertising on VH1, you're just like, give me those ratings, give me that audience.
Right.
Like you don't really care about maintaining a brand image. And Rock of Love. And Rock of Love was just so wild. I mean, he rides up in the motorcycle with his extensions flapping in the wind. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, these women are so hot. And there's like, oh my God, Bret Michaels. And we now know that they had no idea it was going to be Bret Michaels. They were just cast on this reality show. And they were all surprised when like Flav and Bret came out. And they were just like, oh my God. And like half of them had no clue who he was. Like that makes it so much better to know that they were really just putting on this whole act.
Right, totally. This whole facade. That's so funny. Well, it's that you say that is really funny because I was watching some episodes the other day. I was like, I guess I should probably rehash things so I can kind of remember everything. But then I was like, oh, I did this literally last month. But they had some people like come on as super fans, I remember, I think in the first season. And what surprised me was that none of these people were fans of like Poison or Bret Michaels for more than like a year. They were like, Sarah, who's been a fan of Poison for 5 months. And I was like, are you kidding? You 5 months?
That's why she was cast on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
You're, like, you're going to be the super fan. So start listening to their one hit.
Right now.
On repeat. Every rose has its thorn.
Oh my God. The number of plays that song has gotten over the years on VH1 is astronomical.
Which, listen, I like Every Rose Has Its Thorn, but Be My Rock of Love, the theme song, was just like far superior in my mind.
It is. It's good. That one is good. Also, I think he has better songs with Poison, but I was wondering, did you know Brett prior to Rock of Love, you personally?
Like most of the women, no, I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I mean, I had heard of Poison, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't a super fan.
No, of course not. Same here. I was just like, okay, so we're rehashing these has-beens. We're giving them their second day in the sun, if you will.
That's what these shows eventually became, right?
Right.
It was a way for these former rockers or former musicians to kind of have a, you know, resurgence with their careers. And
right.
Brett even talked about how they had offered this to him, you know, years prior. He turned it down. Then we had Flavor of Love and the way it really brought Flav back into modern culture. Then I'm pretty sure his team was like, okay, you have to do this now because
right.
this is what's going to actually make you relevant again. And
so
it did, because it led to like his own spinoff show. It led to him being on Celebrity Apprentice. Like, you know, it really kind of helped put him back in our world.
That's such a good point. And you also missed when he showed up as the banana on The Masked Singer recently. I don't know if you saw that, but Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, that's so interesting because I remember I was in high school when this came out and I was like, I don't know who this person is, but I honestly, thank you, because he was really, what's funny to me is that, and I think for the most part, Flav as well, what really propelled the show was the women and their antics and their crazy personalities. And I honestly thought Brett was like a nice enough person, and he seemed to be in on the joke too, which I appreciated maybe a little more than Flav, who I think is funny as well. But what I liked about Brett was that he wasn't overbearing and trying to kind of like be the star every moment we saw him on TV, which I mean was a lot. But I was wondering, what were your thoughts as Brett, on Brett as kind of like the lead, as they say, like, you know, on like the Bachelor lead or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, they really sold it to us as he was this big rock and roll legend.
They did.
So, you know, 13-year-old me was like, oh yeah, he's a rock and roll legend. Oh, it's Brett Michaels. Oh my gosh. Like, I was ready to flash my tits at the TV thinking he's this legend, right?
Sure,
so
yeah.
To me, I was like, yeah, he's royalty. I mean, and also around that same time, we had like Gene Simmons' Family Jewels and the Osbournes. So like rock in reality TV and pop culture were kind of, you know, that was right. Popular at that time. So,
definitely.
You know, I believed he was Ozzy Osbourne.
Did you? I love that. Yeah, no, totally.
You feel the same way? Were you crushing on him? Were you ready to sign up for season 3?
You know, I would say no, but I did appreciate just like this person that I had never seen before. And, you know, again, I respected that he seemed to be, for the most part, in on the joke. And I remember watching, there was a scene from the third season where he talks about one of the girls, Marcia, she had just finished barfing in a toilet. And then she had eaten some Doritos too. So she had regurgitated some Doritos. And then she went out and made out with him. And I'm sure he was shown the footage. And like a good sport, he kind of joked about how it's like, oh, it tasted kind of like Doritos and everything. And so I appreciated that he wouldn't get like totally angry at these women and everything for their antics, and that he kind of more was like a producer and that he facilitated them, you know? So, but I would say I was not necessarily attracted to him. No.
No, but I mean, I also think that like when you see the writings on the wall and like this is your last attempt to kind of become popular again, like
totally.
At that point, you're going to put all your eggs in the basket.
It's
you're
true.
You're going to lean in. Yeah, you're like, just make me out to be this big rock legend and I'll play the character.
It's so true. And I appreciate that. And also, I think he knew that he wasn't a big enough star at the time. And I wasn't around when he hit his peak of fame and everything, but you know, someone like Gene Simmons or someone like Ozzy Osbourne can kind of stand on their own. I mean, obviously they had a cast of like family members who are also characters as well, but I feel like they have been successful for more years and just have built up stronger personas than Brett Michaels. And Brett Michaels, like you said, like you could have really interchanged him with a lot of other kind of like 80s, 90s rockers almost.
Yeah.
And also, I thought it was interesting because I've been listening to Talk of Love, which is Lacey's podcast. And I bought a month subscription. And
to Storm TV.
And again, I appreciate Lacey and everything, but I was like, okay, I guess I didn't really need to buy this. But anyway, I heard there was a rumor that, they say it's true, which I fully believe them, that Brett had a girlfriend at the time. It was an on and off relationship with the mother of his children. And that everything was pretty much made up in terms of like falling in love with this guy. Like he wasn't actually going to pick one of them to be his significant other in the end.
Right. I remember Lacey on my show telling me that she at one point, you know, I think it was still early on in the show, she asked him, she's like, are you really here to find love or is this just a publicity stunt?
Right.
And he told her off camera, he's like, it's just a publicity stunt. And she said that's when she knew she was really going to lean into the villain character and make herself the New York of Rock of Love and make herself that polarizing, you know, villain that we all love to hate. Because right. she was like, at this point, there is no opportunity. He's not looking to date any of the women. So let me just at least create an entertaining show. And she kind of put her own producer hat on and was like, I'm going to play this to my advantage and at least build a brand out of it.
Totally. Which I think is really important. And like you said, and she saw what had happened with New York and kind of went from there, which I think is interesting though, because for the most part, there wasn't really a breakout star from Rock of Love, in my opinion, that had the lasting power like New York does, right. because people are still using her reaction memes and referencing her time on the show. Like it is, you don't even have to have watched Flavor of Love. She's kind of ubiquitous, which is amazing, you know, because that was 15 years ago.
I think we could have had we given one of the women more star or more TV time, more airtime. Because think about it, New York was on season one and she was on season two.
I love that she got invited back. Yeah.
Right. And she had her own spinoff that lasted two seasons, right. which then, you know, brought another spinoff with New York Goes to Hollywood and New York Goes to Work.
Yep.
So, you know, we gave her a lot more airtime to give us a lot of those moments. Whereas I think had we invested a little more in Lacey or even Heather, like Heather was really in love with Brett. She got like the tattoo on her neck. Like that was, that was some bad shit, crazy stuff. And I think had we given one of them a little more airtime, we probably could have gotten something. Or even Tiffany, poor Tiffany. Tiffany was only like three episodes and then we never saw her again.
We never got Tiffany of Love. Exactly. Yeah. It's so true.
And she was iconic in those first like two or three episodes that we got with her.
We are we are still saying don't threaten me with a good time because that is a great line. Mm-hmm. I do find it interesting that they chose, I can understand, like you said, them going the route of like a Megan Hauserman for like Megan Wants a Millionaire. But it is interesting that they decided, and like I'm weird and I enjoy Daisy just because I think she's cute. But do I think she has like overpowering charisma? No, I don't. I think she's like hot. She's a very certain brand of hot. And I think that's appealing to a lot of people, a lot of men who went on that show. But I don't think she has really the personality to kind of sustain an entire series, which we honestly saw played out on her season. So,
right.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 billion, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Did you have any, like, who are your favorite contestants from the show? Because I just feel like there were, you know, a lot of unsung heroes on these shows for sure.
I mean, Tiffany is a soft spot in my heart and Lacey as the villain.
Sure.
But I think I did love Megan. And I really loved Brandy C. I think the
Brandy
two of
C.
them and their bond together was just like, It was very entertaining to watch. I loved the two of them.
Totally. Yeah. Brandy C was, I forgot about Brandy C. She was funny. She's very funny. I love, there's a scene, I think in honestly, like the first episode of Rock of Love, where she's comparing her breast implants to Heather's and they're like, or not Heather's, it was Aaron, who they later deemed Starfucker. But they were like, mine's the gummy bear kind. And I just like, that was fun for me. That was fun to watch. Like a 15-year-old me being like, I'm so confused, but I'm so into right? this. Yeah, totally. I thought also, I think it's interesting because the contestants were on, they were this, I mean, no shame from the contestants here. I mean, it is, they almost at points watching, rewatching these shows, I don't think they even realized they were on a reality series because they, some of them, I mean, a lot of them would get not only bombed like one night. And I think, you know, that used to be a trope on The Bachelor. You would get one person who would get absolutely smashed out of their minds and forget it was, they were on national television, like the night one, but it would really not happen again. But on these shows, these girls were just inhaling alcohol. And it was episode after episode after episode. And I'm not saying that's a smart thing to do, but it led to some pretty funny moments.
Well, and Brett, I think, even admitted later on that like he wanted it to feel like a party. So he wanted them to be bombed the entire time because he wanted it to be like just one big rock and roll after party.
Yeah.
Which is what he said he wanted the premise of the show to center around, which is interesting. But no, but they just gave us so much. I mean, we have them. We had what, Brandy M in like one of the final few episodes of her season where she's like throwing up at the table
because yes.
she's so drunk.
She's so
like,
drunk.
They really just gave us everything.
Yes, I do. And one of the moments that just stands out in my mind personally is the first episode of season 3 of Rock of Love Bus when the one girl, I think her name was DJ Lady Tribe. Actually, I know her name was DJ Lady Tribe, takes a shot out of another girl's vagina. And They couldn't even say, they had to get Marcia, who was from Brazil and spoke Portuguese, they had to get her to say it in Portuguese.
I mean, it was hilarious. They they really didn't, they gave everything. And it's just, it kind of like makes you think like, what did they, I remember even Lacey saying that like, when it came to their interviews, they were looking for the craziest, wildest personality. So yeah. she even would fake some of her dating stories where she's like, yeah, I had the craziest place I had sex was jumping out of a plane, skydiving. And it's like, how could that ever happen? But they wanted people that were such big, crazy personalities that were just unapologetically themselves and unafraid to give us these moments. And that's what made the show so iconic.
It's so true. I know. And it's so funny to watch back and just the willingness, I think, of these women to kind of go on this show in front of, you know, a national audience, millions of viewers, and admit all these crazy things. Like, again,
and embarrass themselves.
And embarrass, like, really embarrass themselves. Like, again, I'm going to mention DJ Lady Tribe once again, where she comes up. And again, this is the first episode, again, because she only lasted one episode, where she takes a piece of paper to read like a little rap she's made for Brett. And on the paper, on the back of the paper, for everyone to see, is like instructions to cure gonorrhea, which just, you know, is not happening on a lot of mainstream dating shows. But does it happen on Rock of Love? Of course it does.
And listen, we learned how to cure gonorrhea. We learned that it was educational for us. We learned how to take a coochie shot. We learned how right. to, you know, cure gonorrhea.
It's
we learned.
So true. We did learn. Let me just say that watching Rock of Love really opened up my eyes to a lot of things. And what's funny is, so this happened kind of when I was in high school, and I would reference the show throughout college because I don't know why, I guess just to forewarn people that, you know, I love really trashy television. And every time I would mention it, it would always get met with like, oh my God, I watch that show. I love those shows. So you know what? I'm just going to say I wasn't the only one who loved these shows. You love these shows. A lot of people I've met throughout the years have loved these shows because they're so crazy.
They're so crazy. And listen, Rock of Love was the most watched television show ever in the whole universe. So obviously everybody remembers it.
Yeah, exactly. According to Bret Michaels. Exactly. So yeah, that's, I mean, obviously, you know, the contestants on this show are just the willing, their willingness to do a lot, to put themselves out there in a way that I don't think we've seen since. and kind of harkens back to what you're saying, like Jerry Springer, Maury, where you get these people who just kind of want their 15 minutes. And again, you know, there wasn't really social, there might've been like MySpace during Rock of Love era, but there wasn't really any way that we could like trace things back to them. And I don't know if that was also maybe part of it as well, but it seems like not really, because it seems like a lot of these people are on social media and they're, you know, promoting their business and brands and everything. I guess, what did you like the element of Big John? Because I feel like for Flavor of Love, we had Rick, but Rick wasn't kind of embedded on a personal level the way that I think Big John, who was Brett's number one security guy, was kind of there for Brett.
I mean, I get it in the sense that like they were trying to build up the image that like these rock and roll stars have like their Big John. He's always going to be there to break up all these ladies because they just can't stop fighting over Brett Michaels. And, you know,
yeah.
I get the character and the trope and like, I get what they were trying to do with that. But like, I don't think we needed him to be as involved as he was. But I think a lot of it was because Brett wasn't physically always in the house and he wasn't living there with the other women. Cause now it seems he had an on and off girlfriend this entire time. So it seemed like they needed another character to kind of carry some of the weight when Brett wasn't around.
Sure. That's so interesting. And honestly, I am really a gullible person. I will wholeheartedly admit this, but that is a little disappointing to learn that, you know, he wasn't living at the mansion in his rock suite. What? But I mean, you know, he had children, I guess. I just want to also talk about
a girlfriend
who I think is still his girlfriend. So talk about a long lasting relationship. She's seen a lot.
I mean,
she's put up with a lot.
If you can love him as he's dating half of America on national television, then that's love right there.
It's so true. And I also found what's interesting, if you look up his current, the mother of his children, the on and off fling, who was also on the Bret Michaels Life as I Know It show or whatever.
Life as I Know It.
She looks a lot like Christy Joe. And I remember listening to Lacey's podcast saying that he had a really strong connection with Christy Joe. And I've always thought that was really funny because Christy Joe looks a lot like the mother of his children.
And isn't her name Christy Lynn?
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. So there are a lot of similarities there. Yeah, for sure.
A lot of similarities. I think part of it was that he actually had a connection with Christy Joe. Maybe that was like on one of the months that him and Christy Lynn were like on a break. Yeah. And I think it probably was the fact that Christy Joe was one of the women that left voluntarily because she's like, I need to work on me. So it was a rejection. And it wasn't like a rodeo where like rodeo and him were never going to be a match. Like that was never going to work out. So when rodeo's like, I need to go to see my kid, he's like, okay, go to see your kid and your wife. And so with Christy Joe, though, I feel like she actually had, like, she was very genuine and she was very sincere. And there was like some sort of connection that was actually developed there that I think the fact that she walked away from him while that was building, that made him want her even more because he was like, you're not going to tell me I can't have you. Because like men like the chase, right? And especially if she resembles Christy Lynn, and he is probably heartbroken at the time with Christy Lynn because she probably was on a break with him. I think it was all kind of tied together. Do you like how I just theorize all these things?
No, I love, these are great theories. I think you're 100% correct. And yeah, and there is also something, there's an element to Christy Joe in that she seems very sweet, but like the amount of restraining orders she talked about on that show. And I remember her saying like, I just got divorced and now I'm getting my second marriage annulled. I think there's like kind of a, like a, I don't want to say like, but like a level of instability there that is, can be kind of appealing to some people. It can maybe be a little appealing to a one Mr. Bret Michaels, who's, you know, into that rock lifestyle. So
Yeah, he loves the chaos.
He loves the chaos.
She brought an element of like that girl next door sort of energy, but also, you know, the chaos, but crazy, you know, right. What is it? A lady in the streets, a freak in the sheets. Yes. Like she gave off that energy and totally. He was like, I want that.
I want it. And he couldn't have it like you're saying. So that was a little depressing. But I also want to talk about a little bit about, because after rewatching these shows that like I do so many times a year, the number of things that just would not work today or that have aged poorly are just kind of so amazing. Cringe. I mean, again, I literally watched like a lot of the first season the other day, and the amount of slut shaming, like in one episode alone, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Or can we even just talk about the challenges? Like he literally had a phone sex challenge where he had a boner barometer that like would measure how turned on he
the
was
blood
based
flow.
Off of this
yeah.
phone sex. Yeah. I was like, are you, this is so crazy. Or the lingerie mud wrestle. Like it was all,
yeah,
it was all just so cringe. And
so cringe.
I mean, kind of hilarious to look back on, but also kind of like, how are we 13, 15 years old watching these things? And I mean, I don't even think we were the youngest people watching these shows. I'm like
totally,
here watching them do a striptease, you know, for Brett behind the screen.
Yes.
Like it was all just so wild.
It was absolutely nuts. And just the amount of, like you said, I think, you know, he was like, I want this to be rock of party and everything. And the number of wild parties that they show, and they couldn't obviously show all of it because that would have been, you know, banned from TV kind of thing. I would love to see like an uncensored version. Like if we could get the old party footage and they sold it on like DVDs, I would totally buy one. But
oh yeah,
I remember watching one of the random episodes, and we've got, it's like people are, Heather is smashing a guitar topless. We've got what appears to be the beginnings of a threesome. I mean, it was just, and a lot of stripper pole kind of dancing and everything, just stuff that they would never show on television nowadays, you know, unless you're like on HBO or something.
Right. And it's like scripted, you know,
right.
Or it's like actually an MA genre that's like in the porn category. Right. Like it really is the things that we learned, like we really learned a lot about sex on that show.
Oh my God.
And we learned about rock and roll culture on that show. I mean, I don't even think that was rock and roll culture. I think it was like a parody of what, you know, we all wanted to believe rock and roll culture was, but
totally.
It was really just people getting hammered and just getting lit. It was like Litty City times 100.
It really was. It was them excusing it and saying, that's just rock and roll, baby. Like that's just, you know, do the rock hand, or Brett did that a lot. Exactly.
What's a going on? Well,
see, that's also, I love his what's a going on phrase too. I used to say that a lot. That's embarrassing. But I also, it was interesting to see, and you know, Waz and Van talked about it on their episode as well. The number of just like blatant slut shaming, blatant, like you can't be a sex worker. Like you think you're going to marry this stripper whore. And it's just like, oh
yeah.
My God, you did not just say that. Like, and the way they would villainize some of these women for being exotic dancers, for being strippers it was just like, honestly, I was watching and I was like, I am upset by this. Like, I remember the way they pitted Amber. Oh, I do not like Amber. I'm sorry. And Daisy. And I think, again, I think I feel some kind of just like, I don't know, like a, I don't want to say motherly way towards Daisy, but I do feel like I want to like protect her somehow, because Amber was so mean in the way she was saying like, you're just a stripper, and just like kind of calling her out for her livelihood. And it was just like, oh my God, listen, lady, you lied about your age.
I love how they were all half naked and getting hammered, but like the biggest insult is that you're a stripper. Like that was like the meanest thing you could call each other on that show was a stripper.
Exactly.
And who knew? I mean, strippers are popping right now. They have OnlyFans. They're doing the damn thing. They've, you know,
exactly.
built their life around it. No, it was, I mean, there was a lot of that slut shaming and a lot of just like, but I mean, that's like where our culture was at the time. Like, so it true. Was like, let's just, let's, you know, dehumanize women and let's over-sexualize them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, even when they came into the house, right? Like, how were they introduced? They did a photo shoot for Brett right. and they had to be super sexy to get their backstage pass. And like, you know, it's just, it's wild that that's what our culture was at that time. And we've like evolved and grown so much from that. But it is funny because it's like half of that stuff, you would never have a phone sex competition now.
Never.
You would never be introduced, you know, having to do a photo shoot for this man where you have to be so sexy and like, you know, show totally. Us your boobs in order to like, you know, get noticed now.
Exactly. And honestly, I don't think they would even serve as much alcohol as, you know, they no. did then, you know.
Now they limit it.
Yeah, exactly. I also thought it was interesting too, is like the diversity or lack of diversity, especially like on the first season of Rock of Love, where I think like two people of color were eliminated the first night, and that left like, you know, 15 blondes. But and then the whole, and I know you talked to her a little bit about it on your podcast, Lacey's whole altercation with Dallas, which was just like, watching that, I was like, oh my God, like this is yikes. This is not good. Like, you don't treat other people like that. And just the way it was targeted too was just, oh my God, watching it back was really uncomfortable.
It was. But I mean, here's the thing about like that of Love World too, is I also don't think, like, yes, a lot of it was very problematic and a lot of it would not fly today. But I also think a lot of it did so much more for us culturally mm-hmm. than a show like The Bachelor did. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Whereas The Bachelor very much prioritized, you know, stick thin, you know, beautiful,
and they still
blonde,
do.
You know, white, and they still do. Look at how long it took us for us to get the first Black Bachelor.
Yeah.
Whereas on VH1, we had Flava Flav, who was the suitor. And it did, and the ratings were incredible. And not only that, but you look at the women, and yes, majority of them, maybe, you know, there wasn't a ton of diversity, but they introduced women that were older. They introduced yep. women that were young. They introduced women that had curves. They introduced,
so
you know,
true.
Latin women and, you know, Black women and white women. Like, we had, you know, I mean, granted, you know, you had like some of the names Flav was giving some of these women, you know, maybe
sure.
weren't the best, but it was giving us exposure. And like, listen,
yes.
I always like to think of it as like, look, if you put a kindergartner in a white room and you give them a box of crayons, they're going to color on the walls. And the kindergartner didn't know any better. And that's what I equivalent to us at that time. We
it's
didn't
so
know
true.
Any better culturally. So we've grown and evolved since then. But you also have to think of like, Flavor of Love led to Rock of Love. Rock of Love led to all these other of Love shows that even brought us A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, which was the first bisexual lead
oh my God.
In, you know, and we didn't even realize how much
show.
Of this exposure we were getting on cable that we aren't and
it's
weren't
so
getting
true.
At that time on the main, you know, networks. I mean, the only time, I know we've compared it to like Jerry Springer and Maury, but like, what was Jerry Springer and Maury? They were exploiting like little people and like, you know, I slept with your mom
yeah.
and like these, like, you know, and I'm missing teeth. Like, it was just such like, it was trash TV, but it was also like meant to be the butt of a joke.
Right.
That I think these other shows really did kind of amplify, you know, a lot of everyday people that,
totally.
You know,
that
maybe
that other people,
maybe
wouldn't.
Not entirely, but yeah, but it gave, yeah. you know, average people an opportunity to be on television, to expose us to different parts of the world that we weren't really getting
it's
from,
so
you know, the traditional network.
That's such a good point. And, you know, I don't think New York would have been cast on, you know, an iteration of The Bachelor. And
right.
she, I mean, wow. I mean, the way in which she has honestly captured the internet and has done so for literally 15 years. I mean,
yeah.
you can't compare her success with anyone, really. It's amazing. She is.
Name one Bachelor contestant yes. that has the longevity that New York has had.
You can't. You literally cannot. And again, you know, she was able to parlay this into a whole reality career. She's still hosting reality shows. I mean, it's amazing and good for her. She's absolutely hilarious. But also, I kind of briefly want to talk to you about some of the spinoffs. We got, you know,
yes.
we talked a little bit about Daisy of Love. I know you're a Charm School fan. I know.
Oh, love Charm
yeah.
School.
Yeah. Oh my God. What did you love about Charm School? Charm School with Ricky Lake, who was the dean for one of them. And so was Sharon Osbourne.
We had Yeah, it was Sharon Osbourne and that, well, yeah, the original Charm School was with Monique and that was the Flavor of Love Girls. And then they brought in Rock of Love. And that one, I mean, I just love that we had like the baddest of the bad girls together. And it wasn't like a bad girls club where they're all in a house just fighting with each other.
Right.
It was like, we're trying to reform these women. We're trying to make them as if they're fresh out of prison and we're trying to rehab them back into society, right? Yes. And I just loved that like we were putting these bad girls that knew they were supposed to play the character of bad girls in these challenges that were supposed to like teach them etiquette and teach them style and all of that. And it was just, to me, it was hilarious. I loved seeing them interact with each other because you had the best and the best of seasons one and season two on Rock of Love Girls Charm School and all interacting together in one house. And they brought it, you know?
They
even
did.
Megan, she's like, when I was cast on that show, she's like, they told me I was never going to win. So I just came to be the bad girl and to, you know, stir up the drama and stir up the tea.
I love it.
And she did.
She did. She brought it so much so that she had a physical altercation with Sharon, which iconic, honestly. And
that was good. So much so that she still can't even talk. The NDA is still so strict that they still can't even discuss it.
Absolutely wild. Which also, you know, led to her show, Megan Wants a Millionaire. And unfortunately, as I'm sure you know, obviously, as you know, someone who is listening to this podcast, if you're a fan of these VH1 shows, knows that one of the contestants, Ryan Jenkins, from Megan Wants a Millionaire, went on to murder his wife and then commit suicide. So they had to cancel Megan Wants a Millionaire. I think only like one or two episodes actually aired on VH1, I want to say. I know she put out some of them recently to like YouTube.
I think it was right as the third episode was about to air that the scandal broke. And it was, I mean, it's crazy, but it's also wild to realize because he went on, he was one of the runner-ups on Megan Wants a Millionaire. Right. And then they had taped, what was it, the third season of I Love Money. And he was the winner of that show. And they had already completed production on I Love Money 3 and on Megan Wants a Millionaire when all of this sort of broke. And they're like, wow, he's somebody that made it to the finale in both of these shows.
Wild.
We have to cancel them. But the interesting thing was 51 Minds, who was doing the casting on these shows, ended up really getting in trouble with VH1 because VH1's like, you're not doing deep enough background checks into these contestants. And we learned that they were kind of just fast tracking people through. And that's what ended this whole Of Love series because they pulled all the shows. I Love New York, season 3 was pulled. She was taping another spinoff with them. Flavor of Love was about to do another season as well. And it was all just completely scrapped because the relationship with 51 Minds broke down because we realized that the people that they were using to cast, and that's how we got so many of these crazy wild characters.
Right, yeah, and I think exactly.
Casting probably continued to get looser and looser because they realized it was bringing more entertaining television until we get to a point where you have a contestant that's so unhinged that he actually murders his wife and goes on the run.
Right. Yeah. Which was, I remember when this happened, I was like, oh, my, like how horrific and just how do you let this happen? But I think you're right. I think it was just one of those oversights where it's like, well, this, you know, way of casting has worked for so long. It's given us so many great, insane, truly insane characters. And then, you know, you slip up once and it's just, it's not good, obviously. And, but it's like, I think just the larger issue of casting people even persists to this day. It's kind of crazy. Like even on shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, which, you know, are, you know, these are, that's a network TV show. Like that's an ABC show, watched by millions of people, but every year it never fails. Every season of any of the Bachelor franchises, and I am embedded pretty deep in that show, unfortunately, but there's always a couple people that come out with bad tweets or, you know, bad Instagram posts. And it's just like, I really don't think we've done, or casting companies have done their due diligence in a way that, I guess, should now that reality TV has been around for so long. And it's kind of amazing to watch, to see people like still, you know, there's still cracks in the system, so to speak, I think.
See, my thing is it, are they cracks or are we intentionally just kind of turning the other cheek because we know it's going to bring press exposure to the show?
That's a great point.
Because I'll tell you this, I've been in casting for shows like this, for dating shows, competition shows, and the process now is so intense. Like they literally do an entire SWAT and like background check into all of your social media. Mm-hmm. And I know because here in California, if they're going to do background checks like that, they have to give you the opportunity to ask for a copy. And of course, I'm going to ask for a copy. Because I'm going to see, like, I'm going to be like, what is everything that's flagged as inappropriate? Sorry. Luckily, none of my stuff was in the red. It was always like in the green and maybe one or two that was kind of in the yellow.
Sure.
But and I remember looking through everything and being like, interesting. Oh, okay. Wow. That, okay. I didn't see that, you know. But so, and so I know that the process now in at least the last 3 years has gotten so intense that there's no way that they're not
that they don't
catching some of
know
these
this.
Things.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
That's such a good point. That's such a good point.
And they have to know that at some point something is going to resurface because right. you have so many, you know, people on the internet that are just waiting for that next big scandal.
It's
and
so
right
true.
Now, and then it brings all of the attention back to the franchise and it keeps the franchise relevant.
You're so right. And it's like the risk reward kind of mantra going on here where it's like, well, can we let this slide and they'd be a great character? And is it the end of the world, you know, that they had some problematic tweets, you know, a few years ago. And I think a lot of these casting directors go, no, it's something that we're okay with. And honestly might open up a larger conversation and everything. And again, the casting directors and just the producers of these shows are sneaky, sneaky people. And they're very intelligent. So, and, mm-hmm. And they've given us so much. So who am I to complain, I guess?
I hear you.
You know, I guess anything else you want to add about Rock of Love, 15 years later. Again, I hate saying that because I feel so old, but yeah.
I can't believe it's been 15 years. It feels like maybe like 6 years
right?
at best.
Right, yeah.
Not 15 years.
Not 15 years.
But I mean, listen, Brett is still going. You just said he had his, you know, his moment on The Masked Singer, which career high.
Obviously.
You know? And so, I mean, listen, we're still talking about it all this time later. I would love to see a resurgence of, you know, shows like this. I don't know if they, I mean, obviously, I don't think they would ever work today, but I think that's why it's fun to go back and revisit them and kind of be like, ooh, that was wild. Glad we're not there anymore, but that was wild.
Right.
And to enjoy it for what it was, you know, with the limited palette that we had at that time and to be able to kind of look back, reflect, appreciate, you know, and continue to move forward. But I mean, I would love to see, you know, I liked that model of how we had these of love shows and then we did all of these different spinoffs and we had the I Love Money and the charm
schools. The competitions.
I think that's working. And I think reality TV, you know, we're seeing Netflix kind of start to try to do that.
Sure.
We see Bravo trying to do that with the Housewives franchise. So I think
that's a great,
listen, that was the golden era of reality
it
TV.
Was.
Producers nowadays need to take notes and start embedding that in because I think I'm ready for it.
I'm ready as well. I mean, when you say golden age, you are truly saying it because that's really what it was. And as happy as I am to know that we have moved on from a lot of, you know, these transgressions, I guess, on these shows, it's a guilty pleasure to look back and kind of see how far we've come and just also witness things, even though I've watched them so many times that I could, you know, they replay constantly in my mind. To witness things of an earlier era that would just never fly. And there's something nostalgic about it, however gross it is. And just watching that it's comforting, I guess. I don't know. It's fascinating for sure. So thank you so much to my co-host, Zach Peter, of the hashtag No Filter with Zach Peter podcast. Make sure you go and listen to that. He also has great YouTube videos. Thank you to our producer, Kaya McMullen. And thanks to everyone for listening. We will be back with another pop culture history lesson soon.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.